الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I ask Allah to protect his nation from which he fears for them. Today we will talk about ta'wil. Ta'wil al-Qur'an is to dismiss the apparent and literal meaning of the phrase and to assign to that phrase a specific meaning in according with the religion and in accordance with the Arabic language. So ta'wil is assigning a specific meaning to an ayah that is mutashabiha. This is permissible in every ayah or hadith who is mutashabih, or whose apparent meanings may imply that Allah has physical hands or face, or that he sits on the throne, or that he occupies a certain direction, or that he is attributed with attributes of the creation. Some people, because of their ignorance, they attribute these things to Allah. But the scholars of Islam, they made ta'wil to the word yadullah, or the fawqiyah of Allah, or similar verses. Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Surah Al-Imran Ayah 7 means, no one knows the true meaning of these verses except Allah and the people who are firmly rooted in the knowledge of the religion. Also Ibn Abbas, for whom the Prophet made a supplication, said, I am among those who are firmly rooted in the knowledge of the religion. And the Prophet made dua for Ibn Abbas to be knowledgeable in the ta'wil, in assigning the meaning to the mutashabihat verses in Al-Quran. The hadith related by Al-Bukhari and Ibn Majah and Al-Hafidh Ibn Al-Jawzi relays that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated Allah for Ibn Abbas by saying, O Allah, teach him the knowledge of hadith and the ta'wil of the book, that is, the true meanings of the Quranic verses. And among the verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem that would be fitting for ta'wil is the, for example, the verse in Al-Quran Al-Kareem in Surah Al-Qasas, Ayah 88, Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Imam Al-Bukhari himself made ta'wil for this ayah, and he said, رضي الله تعالى عنه, about the term إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ, he did not say his face, because wajh in Arabic bears more than one meaning. So in here, Imam al-Bukhari made ta'wil by saying, except his dominion, illa mulkahu. That's what he made ta'wil to this ayah. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri said that the term illa wajhah means except the righteous deeds done in sincerity to gain reward from Allah. So the meaning of the ayah becomes either everything will come to an end except the dominion of Allah, or only the righteous deeds done in sincerity to Allah will deliver reward. Either is acceptable ta'wil by al-Imam al-Bukhari radiyallahu anhu and by Imam al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri. It is blasphemy, however, to explain the term wajhah as a physical face attributed to Allah, or to attribute to Allah any physical or bodily attributes. It is blasphemy. It renders the person a non-Muslim if he attributes to Allah the physical organs. Allah is clear of the physical attributes. Also, another ayah that is subject to ta'wil is such as the saying of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Mulk, Ayah 16. أَأَمِنْتُمْ من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض. This ayah means, do you feel secure that the angels in the sky will not shake the earth from under you and you get swallowed in a landslide upon the order of Allah? The interpreter of Al-Quran, Al-Fakhr Al-Razi, in his explanation, also Abu Hayyan Al-Andalusi, in his book Al-Bahr Al-Muhit, both they stated that the term Man fi as-sama refers to the angels in the sky. They are the occupants of the sky. And it does not mean that Allah dwells in the sky, because as you know, Allah existed when there was no sky, when there was no directions and no place. And Allah still exists as He existed eternally, without a place and without a direction. So the ayah, أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, does not mean Allah is residing in the heavens. Rather, it means, do you feel secure that the angels in the sky will not shake the earth from under you and get you swallowed in a landslide upon the order of Allah? So the angels perform this by the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is known that the angels did punish the people by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the people of Ad. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 47, means Allah created the heavens by His power. This is what it means. It does not mean Allah created the heavens with His own hand or physical hand, because the hand is a created thing. And Allah is clear from the attributes of the creations, because Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, which means absolutely nothing resembles Allah. And Allah is attributed with hearing and sight amongst many countless attributes. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the aydin in this ayah means power, the power of Allah. Aydin here does not denote physical hands, as we mentioned, because Allah is clear of having such body parts. Aydin is, in the Arabic language, is plural of the term yad, which has many meanings in the Arabic language. It does not only mean hand. So when applied to Allah, it cannot be attributed as a physical organ to Allah, because Allah is clear from the organs. So the word yad in the Arabic language has many meanings in the Arabic language, some of which do not befit Allah. Example, like the physical hand, and others which do not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the meanings that befit Allah would be like power and endowment, ni'mah. That is what the scholars of tafsir did. So that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, aydin in that verse that we mentioned means by the power of Allah, Allah ta'ala created the heavens. Another verse that many people misinterpret and unfortunately translate in the wrong direction is Surah Taha, ayah 5. Allah ta'ala said in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. This ayah, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu said, Allah said about Himself that He is attributed with istiwa, which befits Him. It is invalid to say how, and how does not apply to Him. So you may say Allah had istiwa in a way that befits Him without likening Him to the creations. And some scholars, they explain that istiwa means istila and subjugation. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu, he said, istawa kama akhbar, la kama yakhturu lilbashar, which means Allah Ta'ala had an istiwa as He mentioned in Al-Quran. It is not as some people delude and imagine, because the istiwa of Allah is not a sitting or establishing Himself firmly on a place or in a space. Allah is clear from being in places and in spaces. Imam Al-Qushayri explained the meaning of istiwa in this ayah as to preserve and to subdue and to maintain. And that is taken from the saying of Allah Ta'ala, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ, which means do not attribute to Allah the attributes of His creations. And Allah ta'ala also said, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, which means, and the slaves to face the judgment of Allah, the One, the Subduer, Al-Qahhar. Imam Ali said, Allah created the throne as an indication of His power and not to take it as a place for Himself, related by Abu Mansur Al-Baghdadi. So this confirms the clarification about this matter, that the istiwa of Allah is not sitting in a place or sitting on the throne, because the attributes of sitting, settling, and occupying a place are ascribed and described to the creations. And Allah is clear from the attributes of the creations. In the Arabic language, the word istiwa has 15 meanings. So the scholars of tafsir, they choose the meaning that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as to subjugate, to preserve, and to maintain the throne from falling on earth and destroying it. That could be another acceptable meaning by the mufassirin. On the other hand, the word can also imply physical meanings also. Istiwa can mean sitting. But as you know, sitting and settling and stabilizing do not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is blasphemy to apply any of these physical meanings to Allah. Rather, the words preserve and subjugate are meanings that comply with the religion and the Arabic language, because Allah said, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, and Al-Qahar means the subduer, the one who is attributed with that attribute. Another verse also, Allah Ta'ala said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. The speech of Allah, like all the attributes of Allah, are eternal and everlasting. The speech of Allah is not composed of letters, sounds, or a language. That ayah means Allah spoke to Moses with His eternal kalam, not with letters or sounds or language. Imam Abu Hanifa, the great scholar of the Salaf, he said in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Absat, he said, Allah's speech, kalam, is not like our speech. We speak through organs of speech and by letters, whereas Allah's eternal kalam is without an organ or a sound. This is the creed of the Shafi'i and Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They make ta'wil to the ayat that are mutashabih. Some of the Salaf made that ta'wil to clarify further. And some of the Salaf, they said, we believe in those attributes as Allah ta'ala mentioned, without ascribing a specific meaning to these mutashabihat ayat. But the Khalaf, they made explicit ta'wil to clarify the meaning further, especially for the new people that embraced Islam and did not master the Arabic language as the companions and the great Salaf did. And as we mentioned in the beginning of this explanation, that Al-Bukhari made ta'wil to the saying of Allah Ta'ala, wajhah, he said, mulkah, which is dominion. Also Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal made ta'wil to the saying of Allah, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, he said, an athar from the qudrah of Allah Ta'ala, an indication of a trace of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it does not mean Allah moved or came from one location to another, because Allah existed eternally before the place and before time, and now He exists as He existed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on that creed, the creed that nothing resembles Allah, and that Allah exists without a beginning and without an end, and that Allah exists without a place. I urge myself and you to behold on this creed and teach it to the people. Allah exists without a place. The six directions do not contain Allah, and Allah has the power over His creations, and Allah is able to do what He wills, and Allah knows best.